Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all of last week? Oh, my goodness, my goodness. We had such a wonderful week over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew. And we continue to talk about that conversation of the dumbest arguments that partners have. Yes, that married couples have. And I tell you, we really got some good ones in last week. We talked about the fact that men, most times men, don't like to take, you know, direction when they're driving, when they're putting stuff together. Yeah, you know, that old ego kicks in. I can do it. I don't need it. I don't need your help. Yeah. You know how it goes down. You know how it goes down. We have all been subject to that. Oh, what about it's hot, it's cold. I'm hot, I'm cold. I'm crazy, you crazy. Oh, yes, the thermostat goes up and down, and we're trying to figure out whether we're going to have a smaller bill or we're going to have a higher bill because you can't seem to get that body together. And we got to keep turning this thermostat up and down. Yes, the money argument over what happens with the temperature of the house. Ooh, you know that one. You know that one. Yes, you do. And I tell you, it goes on and on and on, especially when somebody is always late. Oh, I know you know that one. I know you know that one. Somebody is always late, out of control. And, yeah, the arguments still go on. So that's what we talked about. We had our switch tip number 72 with Shantice. Pay attention to God. Ooh, yes, 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 yes. Pay attention to God. Come on, people. You got to pay attention to the things that God is saying. Yes, you know how it goes down. You know how it goes down. You know, we pay attention to everything. We pay attention to how he's acting, how she's acting, how the coworker's acting. We pay attention to how much money is in the bank. We pay attention to so, so much. And yet, God is all around us, telling us all kinds of things, and it just goes right over our head. Yes, it goes right over our head. So we don't want to miss the things that God has for us, do we? No, you really don't want to miss that. You want to make sure that you catch everything God is giving you. But you got to pay attention, because God don't always come through with a bullhorn. Yes, sometimes it's those small, subtle, light ways that God will reveal himself, and you're going to have to be on point, paying attention to what he's doing at all times, okay? So come on, pay attention to that switch tip. Make sure you do what you got to do and pay attention to the Lord, okay? All right. Well, let's talk about it Tuesday. Church Folk Day rolls around, and we talk about the complaining Christian. Yes, we had a full crew in the house. We had our Pastor Ed, we had our Pastor Charlene, and we've got our newest addition to the Church Folk team, and that's Pastor KL. Yes, the same Pastor KL that's been with us on Mondays and Tuesdays before sometimes, and, you know, Thursdays, and definitely on Friday. Yes, we've been blessed to add him to the lineup on Tuesday. And we talked about that complaining Christian who has little appreciation. Yes, you can't show appreciation if you're always complaining. And they're always, what about me? They're always feeling, what about me? What about me? What about me? Yeah, what about you? God has done everything for you that he promised. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, right? So are we calling God a liar? Okay, because you have limited foresight, that you have no vision, so you're always complaining because you just can't see the forest for the trees. Oh, they did a fantastic job on Tuesday. Okay, well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and we started with our girlfriend Vivian, who told us about the homeless students who need supplies. Yes, so, you know, find it in your heart. Find it in your heart to give, you know, the homeless students who don't have. You know, it's hard when you don't have a place to live and you got to get up every day and go to school and make it happen. I can't even imagine trying to go to school and focus on my schoolwork, you know, when my life is you know, spent in a shelter. But, you know, and think about all the other things that are out of place for them. So we want to make sure that, you know, we give them a hand, and there's a way we can get that done, okay? So, and there's many ways you can get that done. You can go on the internet, and you can find out, you know, the different shelters or however, you know, what's available out there to give to our young people who are going to school and who's trying to make it happen. Okay. Oh, we talked about that hospital system out in North Carolina firing all those personnel because they did not and would not get the vaccination. And, you know, we talked about this thing. It's a catch-22 situation because, you know, a lot of people in the hospital system have quit because they don't want to, for whatever the reason is. I can't get mad at you because you don't want to. Yes, you make the plea that, you know, hey, excuse me, it's going to make the system better, and, you know, but it's an individual thing. You know, we can't fight people on this decision here because we don't know why each person has not decided. So it's really a hard thing that we're up against right now. And we rolled over to our women of worship, and we continued that conversation, but we extended it from the week before. And that's not how do you love a wayward child. We put that extra padding on it. How do you love your child? How do you show love to your child in a special way? And that's to spend, you know, a little more time with them. Get to know what they're interested in. You know, make sure you are an example to them. You know, don't expect them to be so Christ-like. They're living life. They don't know what this is about yet. But point them to Christ. Be an example. And last but definitely not least, we talked about just welcoming them home, always letting them know that they have a home to go to. Okay. We had our techie talk with Dwayne, and we had our anchor of the morning, Pastor Charlotte, who gave us our faith over fear segment, and oh, it was quite good. Alrighty. Thursday. Yes, Thursday rolled around, and we had a nice little conversation. We talked about the celebration of life. Yes, we celebrated our own Shantice, our engineer, our switch tip girl. We had a wonderful morning of tribute and a time well spent just letting her know that we love her, we appreciate her and what she means to us. And again, I want to say thank you for just taking that time out to give our girl a shout out. My girl, a shout out. Okay, well, Freestyle Friday rolled around, and wow, was it some kind of conversation. We talked about, that young man, 17 years old, who is accused of killing his 29-day-old child by throwing him up in the air, letting his little body hit the ceiling fan, and ultimately murdering him because he did not want to pay child support. Oh, that hurts. That hurts. That hurts big time. A little tight didn't ask to be here. And we talked to our dads on Friday, our resident dads, and we talked about, different ways that men feel pressure, you know, when it comes to, you know, being a dad and, you know, that financial strain that they feel, you know, all of a sudden your pockets have changed. Oh, yes, they have. Yep. We think about the time that, you know, you don't have with your, you know, with your wife anymore. You know, how you now have to share. Yes, that's an adjustment that some people, you know, just don't, you know, adjust too well. And we talked about, you know, another area of stress, and that's, you know, when your time isn't the same. Your sleep is, hey, you used to be able to sleep in late. It ain't happening no more when you have a brand new baby. So, you know, we really spent a wonderful, wonderful Friday just getting that information from our dads. And, you know, I really paid attention. You know, I've heard some of these things before, but I really paid attention to, you know, what the men were saying. And I hope you were too. I really do, because that story, you know, is really a story that we really have to pay attention to, because we need to keep our eyes and ears open for, you know, if some, you know, young person is in our midst and they're struggling. You know, it's not always an external struggle. But they said when they went back and watched his Facebook posts, that there were signs. What he said was he didn't want to be a dad, and I'm sure he mentioned this to mom. You know, his mom, the mom of the newborn, and we don't know how these people are going to ultimately show us what they need. So, you know, open up your ears, open up your eyes. When you pray, ask God to keep you aware and alert to everything that's going on around you. Okay? All right. So that's how we spent our last week. Also, I advise you to go back and listen, because we had wonderful, wonderful, wonderful conversations that were enlightening, comical, educational. So, you know, go back. And we're on demand 24 hours a day. So you could be taking a shower, you could be taking a bath, you could be washing the dishes, you could be cleaning the house, you could be doing anything. Okay? And just take the time to go back and listen. All right? Well, today, we are shaking the Monday morning blues again. Oh, my goodness, already. God has brought us safely through another weekend. And I am so happy to say that we got over our first Sunday of the Word Prayer Project. Yes, the ladies got together. Oh, and, you know, a couple men. And we talked about impactful prayer for him. Yes. And boy, did we have a list of prayers for the men, our young boy. Yes. Oh, my goodness. It was some kind of experience to just read what the women were pouring out about the men. We talked about praying for the men who were drug users, praying for men who had walked away from the church, praying for the males who, you know, are not mentally on point. Let's put it like that. Oh, my goodness. The ladies did their job. The ladies did their job. They heard that we were praying for him, and the him were the little boys all the way up to grandpas. Yes. Oh, when I tell you it was pouring in, it was pouring in, and it did my heart well to know that we covered so much territory last night. Yes, ladies, every Sunday at 9 p.m. going forward, God spares our life. You know, come on and join us. It was, man, I tell you, as I was reading, I was like, wow, they're really pouring out here. Yes, so make sure, you know, you listen out for this week's theme. You know, that was yesterday's theme. Every week we will have a theme, and we don't know when God's going to bring that one back, and we don't know when God is going to move forward and give us something else to pray about. So we got to be on point, okay? All righty. Well, we have a wonderful lineup for you this morning. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. I'm going to give you an opportunity to go tell a friend and make sure you don't go too far and you hold on to your seat, because we will be right back.
There's a crisis in America. More than half of us are overweight. The advice experts agree on is to eat more fruits and vegetables as part of a healthy diet and be physically active. Eating 5 to 9 servings of colorful fruits and vegetables and being active every day will help our kids stay healthy and fit. Eat smarter, be active, and get healthy, America. Because the figures don't lie.
Good morning, and good morning to you. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we're shaking the Monday morning blues together. Yes, we are. I'm so excited that God has spared our life through another week, another weekend, and we're here together one more time. Yes, how blessed are we? I'm so excited that we crossed over our first weekend with our word prayer project, and it was fantastic. It was a fantastic experience, and I hope God spares that, you know, next Monday you will be with us, okay? So let's get those pens out. I want to continue our list. Yeah, I want to continue that list we started, okay? Oh, we started talking about the things that help to extend our life that we can do. You know, adding a couple more days to our life, or the days that you have, you know, even if you don't add it, but you spend it more healthy. Yes. Oh, we got number 11. Yes, we're up to number 11 already. Drink apple juice. Yes. They say apple juice can help to prevent dementia. Ooh. They say researchers found that drinking 2 glasses of apple juice per day was associated with the breakup of plaque in the brain that typically leads to dementia. So come on, get that pomegranate juice and get that apple juice. Now, you're going to go get that apple juice that's not sweetened. Yes. And you're going to replace that, whatever soda that you were drinking, whatever fruit juice, you know, that wasn't really healthy fruit juice, you're going to replace that apple juice with that, okay? I'm saying it backwards. You're going to replace that with the apple juice. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. It's Monday morning. I'm shaking the Monday morning blues. My brain is fried. All right, day number 12. Come on, add an extra day to your life by making sure you brush and floss. They say brushing and flossing twice a day should not just be a habit, but understand that it helps to improve your oral hygiene. And let me help you understand something. You need to make sure you floss because it helps to extend your life. It does. Do you realize that our poor health a lot of times comes from the nastiness that goes on in our mouth? Yep. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're talking about things that help to add on to your life. Oh, we're talking about volunteering. Ooh. I like that. Volunteer. Make sure you get that in, okay? Give of yourself. It makes you feel much better, okay? All righty. What else are they telling us to do? Oh, they say get that dancing on. Ooh. Get that dancing on, okay? Listen, whether you're young, whether you're old, get the dancing going, okay? We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can do to get our bodies moving, to get that physical energy going. They say it's definitely good for your mental, emotional, and physical health. So come on. Let's get to shaking that groove thing. Yes, we ain't got to twerk. We do not have to twerk. All we have to do is just shake it. Come on. Let's get to going. Okay? Let's get to going. Now, what else are they telling us to do? Okay, they say we need to go for a bike ride. Yes. Go bike riding. Now, don't know about the bike riding for me, because, you know, I have some difficulties with that. But, you know, for those of us who can get that bike riding in, make sure you get, you know, bike riding. You know, Teresa, one day she rode all the way from Brooklyn. Yes, she rode all the way from Brooklyn to Queens. Can you believe that? And I asked her, I said, Teresa, how long it took you? And she said it was hours. It was hours. Hours. Ooh, baby. Man, I'm telling you. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine. But they say going bike riding helps you live longer. Yes. So we want to make sure that we have that intact. Okay? So, you know, maybe you can get a stationary bike. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I tell you, that wasn't a stationary bike for her. Then she rode the real deal. The real deal. Okay? So we want to make sure that we do those little things that we can do to add a healthy, healthy lifestyle. Okay? All right. So, what are we talking about today? We got a couple more minutes before our guests come on. And I spotted a couple of news stories that I definitely wanted to run by you this morning. You know how we do. You know how we do. Oh, this one was a little difficult. And, you know, we always talk about what happens with our little people. And, you know, we always talk about, hey, do they remember? How do they remember the trauma that takes place in their life? Well, we're talking about a 5-year-old Brooklyn boy who actually witnessed his little brother's fatal beating. Remember last week we talked about the couple who killed the sons, and then they took the other children and they brought them to the bodies? Well, listen, this week we're talking about a little boy who watched his father beat his 4-year-old brother to death. Yeah. And now they say everywhere he goes, he's yelling, my brother's dead, my brother is dead, Jeremiah's dead, you know, Jeremiah killed him, and he's in jail now. This is what he's walking around saying. See, we think that these children don't pay attention. We think these children don't pay attention to the things that go on. Well, they actually do. They actually do. And, you know, we have to remember when we're doing all of these things to children, in front of children, that, yeah, they're going to remember this stuff just because they don't talk about it, just because they may not express it. They know what's going on. So now the 27-year-old father is in Rikers waiting for his court date to come up, and his son is really, really, really suffering. But here's the thing. You know, ACS was involved. ACS was called. They said several weeks before this actually took place, the teachers noticed scratches on the brothers when they went to school, and they made the proper phone call, and ACS did not follow up properly. And now again, because they dropped the ball, this is what happens. So now they're wearing shirts, you know, kind of signifying that, you know, the little boy, you know, went through some things, and you know, does a tribute to him. But you know what? When we talk about praying, you know, yesterday we spent the morning praying about, you know, our hymns, the little boys. you know, our little boys. And, you know, we have to keep them at five. So the hymns, remember I kept saying the little hymn, the big hymn. You know, remember I talk about all the time, the little hymns who go through things. They're not, they don't just wake up as a big mess at 30 years old. They were once a little mess, okay? So I want you to think about that. That man in your life that can't seem to get himself together, guess what? That's because when he was younger, a lot of times trauma takes place. You know, the keys take place, the things take place in their life, and now here we are struggling, you know, with what they're going through. And, you know, we don't understand what's happening here. Okay? So, you know, let's keep them lifted in prayer. Let's keep them in prayer. Okay? Listen, this is the last story I'm going to give you this morning, and this thing really, 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 you know, we're talking about relationships today. And I want you to think about this. When you think about you going through, we're talking about what's this month? Why is this missing my head? Missing my head. I'm thinking about a million things right now. Domestic violence. There we go. Domestic violence. We're talking about domestic violence this weekend. We get ready to do relationship clinics, and you know we bring on the couples that are going to be a blessing to us, who will teach us and help us go forward in our relationship. Well, check this one out before we get back. Man who inserted marker battery into girlfriend's private, jailed and caned. Yes, there was a man who sexually tortured his girlfriend after he said she stole some stuff from him, stole his belongings. He's been jailed for 13, but this is the funny part, 13 years, 7 months, 92 days in Singapore. Yeah, they break it down. They don't get the time we get out here in the United States. They break this down one by one by one. Yeah, we got the days, the months, the weeks, the years, all of it. Yeah, they say that he really abused her by putting things, yep, in her private parts and torturing her that way. And he put a whiteboard marker and a battery. Yes. This is how it goes down. And didn't I say tortured stuff, tortured brains do tortured things? We don't know what happened to him, but we know it ain't all good upstairs. And this is what some women are going through. So when, you know, you think that there's not a real issue with domestic violence or people who go through domestic violence, oh, it ain't that bad. No, because I've heard people say that. So don't think for one minute people don't actually say that. I've had people say it's not that bad. You know, she didn't have to, you know, run. Yes, and especially the church. The church has done a horrific job with helping our women and our men get out of these, you know, situations. And yes, so this is the degree that some people go in their abuse. Now, can you imagine what she's going to experience for the rest of her life? Yeah. So while he's going away for, what did we say? 13 years, 7 months, and 92 days, her memory, her experience will be held much longer than them 13 years. Much longer than those 13 years. So, you know, we're focusing on domestic violence this month. We're focusing on, you know, the breast cancer awareness. And, you know, this is something that I want to, you know, bring to the forefront, because we need to pay attention to this stuff. Okay? So we're going to keep, you know, these women, these men who are in abusive relationships, we're gonna be responsible for praying them through this month. We're gonna start, not just focus this month, and then as of November 1st, we're on to the next thing. But let's get that started this month. Just remember that there are people out there who are experiencing some real, real. real abusive treatment, and it's up to God's people to make sure that we're standing in the gap for them. Okay? All right. So thank you for letting me bring you that. Well, I just want you to know that I stumbled across a woman of God who is doing a phenomenal job in his kingdom, along with her husband. And I want to say good morning to Mr. and Mrs. Fulton and Courtney Lee Smith. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I am well. Thank you. I am so well. I'm so happy to have you with us this morning. How are you both?
We are wonderful.
Excellent.
Wow. I'm excited. You know, it's been a minute since we've had Relationship Clinic. So you're launching our Relationship Clinic journey again. So I want to thank you for, you know, accepting the invitation. So before we go any further into our conversation, why don't you tell us who the Smiths are?
Oh, first of all, we are so just honored to kick it off again, to start it back up, you know, the clinic, you know, working on our relationship, something that we really don't take advantage of. And so for us, you know, we as the Smiths, this is like an assignment for us, you know, our marketplace ministry, to really just make sure people are having their best relationship on the journey, you know. So it's removing every day those things that are not of God that actually holds us back from being the best version of ourselves. So we got started on this journey through our own trials, tribulations, but we are enjoying sharing the direction that God has us going in.
Amen. What you got to say, Mr. Smith? We hear you in the background saying, yeah. What you want to say about? What do you want to say about who the Smiths are, Mr. Fulton?
We are part of this, bringing folks up, keeping a smile on their face, keeping them encouraged, because it's very important for you to be able to teach ourselves and share our wisdom with outside, because so many people are asking for help, man. We ask for help in so many ways, and we are determined to bring smiles on folks' faces, ease folks' minds and stuff like that. Because I just got through listening at your promo, what happened over in Singapore, and that really touched my heart, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's real sad that happened, you know. But me and my wife and myself, we are a work in progress. But as we grow, we want other folks to grow with us too, because our minds and our hearts are open to anyone that really to accept what we have to give.
Amen. Thank you so much again. You know, I like what you said, Mr. Fulton, about, you know, we're a work in progress, because a lot of the relationship journeys end so early because everybody throws their hands up and gives up. They forget that each individual is a work in progress, and both of you put together, that's a work. That's a journey. And, you know, yes, the story we just got finished talking about is really, really a sad one. And, you know, how do we get there? Before we get to your topic that you chose, I want to talk to you both. You know, I have a tagline. How do we get here? You know, I want to go directly to you, Mr. Fulton, first, because I always talk about men who have a young trauma. I don't know, were you on yet when we were talking about the little 5-year-old boy?
No, I don't think so.
We had a news story this morning, a 5-year-old boy who actually watched his father beat his 4-year-old brother to death. He was actually there when it took place. I don't know what was going on, that the dad did not, you know, he went off and he beat the little boy. And now he's going around saying
you know, my brother's dead. My brother's dead, and Jeremiah is in jail. And, you know, we always talk about a big mess was a little mess. You didn't just wake up at 35 and you're some male that is out of control. You're a male that, you know, don't operate or who operates on emotions. That trauma took place early in his life. How does that affect your relationship, your marriage? Can you give it to us from a male perspective?
Absolutely. This is Ayana that we're talking about this because I just posted something this morning on Real Talk about men's and women's need to lose their ego and pride in their relationship because that's very serious. It's very serious because it starts from the home, starts from childhood because what their mom and dad doing and they see the kids see they're doing, that's where it started at right there. But we have to delete this pride and ego. That's dangerous in any situation. Some individuals just don't want to delete it, and it's caused a lot of drama in all categories, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And it's just, we need to start working on that real heavy, you know, especially with parents, and because it's out in the open now. And, you know, some people say, well, it's nature. No, it's not nature. It's something that's been taught into us, and that is sad. So we need to because I got a long series on this about this ego and pride. That's the dangerous part of a situation. It's destructive and it's sad. It brings tears to my wife and my eyes about this because kids, what happened? Kids suffer from this because the parents already dwell in them. But you got to realize these young men and young women are going to be running the world. And they pick up all this unnecessary stuff that we don't need to be having. So parents need to be parents. They need to be parents. You know, it don't take, even when I talk about this all the time, it don't take mature people to bring a kid in the world. It takes two mature people to raise this kid right.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I like that. I like that. Good start, Mr. Fulton. Good start. Oh, Ms. Courtney, we're talking about,
yes,
you know, that big mess was once a little mess. And, you know, I have this conversation all the time. A lot of our news that gets brought to the broadcast, unfortunately, is about, because I want to continue where Mr. Fulton was. You know, a lot of this comes from parental treatment. You know, we can't, you know, years ago we used to have to watch our children when they left the home. We had to watch the teachers. We had to tell them, you know, don't let nobody, you know, take you aside. Don't go with strangers. Don't take candy from strangers. Don't take things from people you don't know. We can't even get out the house now. It's the parents who are torturing and abusing the children and messing them up before they could even get to the world, into the world. Ms. Courtney, what are we talking about here?
Well, in the world now, it's just more highlighted because we have more media, more TV, but I believe it has always been a foundational issue, parenting, because nobody believes that is something that we need to teach basic parenting foundational skills because they say there is no book on it, you know, there is no path on it. But it is. The Bible gives us specific instructions on some basic parenting things, basic things that we can emulate from God in parenting, but we don't take those things on, so we leave them out, and then we continue to expect parent through our experience, through our exposure, or through the things that we don't want our kids to experience. And then in that, sometimes we shelter them too much and then they run out and they become wild. Sometimes we press them so much and instead of them becoming diamonds, they become broken pieces. So it's just a part where we got to realize that we can't do it all alone. We need to assist, get help, just like on every other aspect of our lives. You know, we need to sit down and say, hey, I'm not sure about this. Let's have a conversation about it. Say, I didn't really like this much as a child, or I don't even know if this was right as a child, so we don't continue to pass abuse down. You know, we talk about leave legacy, but sometimes the legacy we're leaving is a bad legacy.
Right. Ooh, you two are doing it already. Before we can even get to our topic, you're already touching on some big stuff. You know, you're right. As we're teaching our kids, you know, a lot of it comes from what we've learned and what we've experienced. And here's the thing. And I want you two to comment on it, because this cracks me up in a sense. So we say, I was forced to go to church, so now I'm going to give my child an option. But the stuff that you don't need to be passing down, you do pass down. How does that become so twisted? How do we make it optional that our children go to church because we were forced to go to church, but all the dysfunctional stuff just seems, like you said, Ms. Courtney, to get passed on down. That's missing. That is not right. If somebody tells you it's not right, now you up in arms. Nobody could tell you nothing about your kid. What are we talking about from a male side, Mr. Fulton?
Well, that's a good point. I love this. That word, folks, and that's where you start right there, that word, folks. Let's take that word, folks, and run with it, right? Because I was in that category, too, because my parents forced us to go to church. We'd be in church at 9 o'clock in the morning and only leave out of church about 10, 11 o'clock at night. And that happened all during my teenage life. But the destructive part about it, when you are forced in something, you're not there on your own willpower. And that's when you lose track of everything right there. I call this a mental block, because somewhere down the line, my parents were forced to go to church for whatever they need to do. And we need to break that. We need to break that mold. We need to break that, because that's the part that's pulling this world apart. Being forced to do things we're not comfortable doing. Being forced to do things that we don't understand. On top of that, right? We're being forced to do stuff. Nobody take time, even though it's wrong or right, nobody has to take the time to explain to why this is happening. And that's the problem right there.
Right.
Forcing is one thing, but explanation is another point.
Right.
That's the part about that. That's the most important part, right? That's what I look at it. And then you have to look at society plays a big role in it, too, because you have to look at this. Society is a busy place. We on the go all the time. Me and my wife talk about this speeding. We going fast all the time, and we taking all these shortcuts that we think is necessary, but it's not. It's destructive to our life. And especially when it comes down to kids. I'm not trying to get off topic, but kind of follow me. Especially when it comes down to kids, because I love kids. That's my heart. But when your kid comes, you say, Mom and Dad, I need to have a conversation with you. And then you've been working 16 hours a day or 20 hours a day, and especially a woman, you've been working all the miles, and then you got to come on and fix your husband's stuff. You got to wash dishes, wash clothes, get out, clean up. You don't have time to talk to your kids. See, that's all planned by this fast-paced society. And if your kid comes to you and stop and want to talk to you, you need to stop and listen to them, because that's very important, because they come to you for a reason. It's very important to them, but it might not be important to you. And that's a little prime points in life as parents that we miss.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right, Mr. Fulton. Sometimes we're moving at the speed of light, trying to get all of these things accomplished and trying to live up to this persona of what, you know, mom looks like, dad looks like, and we're not paying attention to our home. You know, what's happening in our home? I can't run my home the way the Smiths run their home. The Smiths can't run their home the way the Joneses run their home. Everybody has to seek God as to how, you know, you run that particular home. I love this. I love the fact that you brought that up. Everybody's, you know, so we talk about everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses. We always talk about the monetary part, but you brought out a very good part. The way we look, the way we move. Like you said, we're always moving faster than we need to, because everything has got to be done before I lay down. My mama did it this way, or grandma got it all done. There's no reason why. And you don't have to remind people, grandma didn't always have a job. You know, a lot of grandpas took care of that home financially. So grandma could do all of those things because that's what grandma focused on. So, you know, thank you so much for bringing that out. I love it. I love it. Miss Courtney, we're talking about, you know, hey, how do we get to the point of where we're being accused of forcing, which so rightly so at times, we just drag the kids off to church because that's what happened. That's what was done to us. Or we go on the opposite side of the fence and go, listen, I spent all them hours in church. My kids ain't going to have to go through this. However, we give them option, you know, to go to church, but school and other things are mandated. How do we get there? We can't find that balance.
Well, I'm going to go with what my husband said because we talk about it all the time. If you're being demanding about one particular thing in your life and there is no structure or reason behind that demand, you know, just as like God gives tells us to do things, but he usually tells us why and how it's going to benefit us. You know, what's the promise down the road? We leave that part out with our kids that, you know, church is about a relationship, not a routine. And that's why sometimes as adults we easily stop that because we believe it's just a part of a routine or a regimen or a habit that we can change, break, and just drop. Whereas the world tells us education is a necessity, and plus the world tells us if your child don't come to school a certain amount of days, you know, the truancy officer is going to come, you're going to be shamed publicly. You know, there is no public shame for, you know, not giving your child a foundation or a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It's just internal shame that you receive. But the thing is, you know, as long as we can hide it under the bed and nobody knows about that shame, that's different. So you can hide your relationship with God versus hiding all of these other things that the world mandates. That's how we keep up with the world mandate, but not understanding that one foundational component, and it doesn't really have to be forced. If you make people understand just the whole dynamics of relationships to begin with, but we end up having to force our kids because we don't really have a true relationship with them. You know, we have a fear relationship with them instead of a respect relationship for them. I can remember when my kids were little, they would be waiting in the car for me on some Wednesday nights when I didn't even want to go to church. They would already be in the car waiting and be like, let's go. So it was like they kept me going to make sure that I kept them going. So it was, you know, it was a routine, but they had a relationship and they had a joy for it. And so if you can place a joy in building that relationship and understanding why did you go, and you can understand how that relationship benefits and empowers your life, it's not something that you'll cut off. It's just like you won't cut off eating because you know how that empowers and nurtures and benefits your life.
I like this. You two remind me of how much I miss relationship clinic. Oh my goodness gracious. We haven't even gotten to the relationship part and the conversation is so enjoyable. You know, it's a lot to be said for the attendance of church is about a relationship, not a routine. I actually love that. Now, maybe some other people have heard that already, but I don't remember hearing that. And this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful statement, you know, opposed to always running. Because a lot of people don't even know about why they running. They just running because they running. I always call them the pew fillers. You know, they just go to sit up in church. Even when they go once a week, they just go to sit up in there to say that they've been to church. And it's like, okay, and then what? You ain't got nothing out. You didn't get anything out of it. When you step up in there, you're the same way when you step up out of there. Nothing's changed. Nothing even looks different. Nothing even looks different. So, you know, I used to always have a tagline. I used to tell people, please don't tell them you go to church here. Please don't tell them you go to church here. Because I do not want these people to believe that I'm not teaching you anything. You know, it's an amazing thing, and I want both of you to, you know, close out this segment for us with just the components we need to teach our children, you know, about going to church, living for God, enjoying God. Like you already said, Miss Courtney, you know, the kids were had you going, you know, and wouldn't that be a joy for the majority of us to actually have the kids, you know, spearheading this activity here in this process of life that we're going through. But, you know, I love the relationship clinic because we really get an opportunity to speak from the male side and the female side at the same time. So, you know, as a dad, Mr. Fulton, you know, what are the key things we need to be teaching our children about, you know, just getting into the practice of going to church, worshiping God, developing a relationship with Him, opposed to it just being a regimen?
Yeah, I love it. Yes, the first thing is, you know, starting from home, watching the mom and dad how they respond with each other. Watching mom and dad how they respond to a difficult situation. Watching mom and dad how they just respond to something that they have no control over. And the most important part is watch their mom and dad study the Almighty Father Word and explain to your kid what's going on. Don't try to force them to go to church. Let them, they'll come on their own once they see what mom and dad carrying this after. Don't, as my wife said, don't live on the fence. There's Sunday, we living for the Almighty Father, we saying the Lord's name, and then Monday morning, we on a different page. That would confuse the kids. That's very confusing. So what we need to do is just, man, that's, I'm so proud of my baby girl because she started asking mama questions about the Bible, about different part about religion, and now she love it, and now she's getting into it.
Amen.
We're not forcing us, but we're feeding her, but we're not forcing because we leave the door open for her to come in, and that's what we need to do as parents. Just open the door for your kids. They'll come in, but you got to help them too. Just can't just open the door and don't have a communication with them. Don't be able to explain nothing to them because they're not going to come into a dark room and no lights is on because my grandbaby, she's not going to come in no part of the house that ain't no light. She says, scary. So you have to put the light on when you see. You have to see. And
right.
See, that's what it is with as your parents. Put the light on with your kids and be able to see and point to them and explain to them what they say. Watch what happened. Their life would change. You know, because you had to get out of this folks thing. You had to get out of this because I've been to church a lot. And still going on now, people going to church and just going to church just to win a popular contest. Say, I just went to church. That don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
That's right.
I'm a workout person. I love to go to the gym. I see a lot of folks say, I've been to the gym. Yeah, you've been at the gym. What did you do at the gym besides running your mouth? No, you go to the gym, you work out hard, work up a sweat, and get out and go on about your business. But that's the same way with the religious. You know, we have parents. It starts at home. Everything starts at home. Nothing starts into the church. It starts at home. The church is within her. So it's us.
Oh, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Ms. Courtney, what's your advice to our listeners about, you know, the process of, you know, the family going to church? And, you know, we know that everybody is not going to like it. But we have the duty of kind of gauging and guiding the ship.
Yeah, I do. I'm gonna just repeat, you know, so you all know the bullet points that my husband said. He said, be an example and be a light for your kids. So those were the things that he was saying. So I want to make sure y'all got that. So be that example, be that light. And the thing for me is, you know, he was saying set the table, you know, so offer different things. God is not just one thing, and that's what we do to our kids, make him think that he is just one thing. God is the I am. So when you set the table, present all the I ams that God represents, and they'll understand they need God at that place, and they'll understand that God can meet them in that place. I mean, I can't talk to my 2-year-old about God the same way that I talk to our 23-year-old about God. So I have to present different meals to her, you know. So that's the thing. We have to present it to them the way that they are. So instead of going back to the way, you know, we were brought up, you know, you do as you're told instead of do as I act, these kids now do what they act and they do what they see. So what are you showing them? What are you setting the table? I can remember when all my kids were little, they were, I mean, one child said they were more picky than the other, but they were all picky eaters. So I had to make spaghetti a different way from all of them. But it was the same meal. It was the same God. So when they were growing up, I said, understand what your gift is. Bring that gift to the church. If you sing, you sing. If you stand, you usher. If you, you know, whatever it is, let them bring that gift to the church. And then they get excited about being able to be themselves in church. And then let them understand it's not the building that makes them church. Allow them to serve people in their community. Make sure they serve in each other. You know, I make them show that same kind of love for themselves, their brothers and sisters, their peers. So don't let people think that church is a building and they only act that way when they show up on the days that you show up to an edifice. Let them know they are the church and they act that way every day that God sees them.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. Oh, my goodness. You said you were going to give some bullet points. Boy, did you expand on that in a wonderful, wonderful way. I love the analogy to, you know, that one spaghetti meal that had to be served different ways because maybe somebody has an allergy or maybe somebody doesn't like. I have a daughter. You can't put sauce on anything. You can't cover her rice with anything. You can't cover her spaghetti with anything, but she'll still eat the meal. And you just got to break it down. You just got to give it to her in five different sections opposed to the rest of us who eat, you know, everything mixed together, but yet it's still the spaghetti. It's still God. I love it. I love that analogy. And I remember, you know, there's a difference. You know, if you when we started the ministry here, it was all just a group of young people. And where I came from was we were all older. And it was a different, you know, it was a different presentation. And when I came here, I couldn't give it to them the way I got it. I had to break it down for young people. And not only that, I had to break it down for babies in Christ. These young people came. A lot of them hadn't been to church. Some of them didn't even believe in God. But yet they were here. So it that was a wonderful analogy about how we present God. You know, if you present God as a God that you just got to go to 7 days a week, you know, from morning to night, ain't nobody going to like that because we ain't going to like nothing that operates like that. You know, you don't want to go to school like that. You don't want to go to work like that. You don't want to do anything like that. So you two have definitely gotten us off to a wonderful start before we even get to your topic. Just based on, no, I'm serious. And we always talk about that. You know, a launching point being the news. All we got to do is bring real life to people and just let them see God in everything. So thank you so much for just helping our listeners, you know, get it from a different angle. Thank you so much. Now,
thank you.
I gave you a list of topics, and the two of you picked the road to there, and I'm sure that title, that topic would have hit another couple in one way. But first, let's hear why you chose this particular topic, the road to there.
Well, there is very unspecific, and I think in our relationship, sometimes we have a specific destination. There is many points if we can enjoy the journey. So it was kind of like I want couples to understand to embrace all the theirs on the road, not just looking for the end, because a lot of times the end is not what you expected to be. You know, a lot of us, you know, and I mean in our marital relationships, we always say until death do us part as a vow. But the thing is, what is our there with our kids? What is our there with our parents? You know, so all those theirs represent various theirs that we have to work on in different ways. So I just want people to know on the road, there is different work and let us not avoid the work to get wherever that particular there is.
Okay. I definitely saw it the same way when I got the list together and God was compiling, you know, the list. That's exactly what I saw. You're there as somebody else is there, but we're talking about the road, the journey. And that's exactly the word I think of, the journey. So since Ms. Courtney answered, I would like to start with you, Mr. Fulton. Let's talk about the road to their patience, that marital patience.
Your
wow,
favorite word.
That's awesome, boy. You hit keynotes there. Those are the mother. Patience. Wow, that's hungry there. And they're wrong to there is we are individual is relate the length to a destination to bother us. Relate the length to destination disturb us, put it in another direction. And that's what I learned years and years. I'm using it, but kind of where it turned out that man was teaching me how to work on cars. He said, young man, I can teach you how to be a good technician, but one thing that I can't teach you is patience. And patience is a master of everything, because if you don't have patience, you're starting off on the wrong foot already. It's tiresome trying to get to your destination when you don't have patience and discipline. And you have to be determined, and it's a long road. It's a long road. It's not easy whatsoever. But on the end result, you'll be so happy and you'll be so joyful. And you just have to develop patience. Work on patience. Now, if you got, as my wife speak, let's take a step at a time. Today, I'm gonna take 5 steps. I'm gonna sit down and take me a deep breath. Take 5 more steps. And that's how you get to your destination. You may walk on some nails, and you may have to stop and pull the nail out of your foot and bandage it up, but you keep walking. You keep walking. You know, you might hit a toenail. You bandage your toe up, keep walking. But once you get there, it's all right. We have to learn to be patient. We have to learn to be disciplined with anything that we do in life. And the walk of life, It's not made for everybody if you don't have patience and discipline. But it's once you get there, it's done. You all right. And I'm going back to, I'm going to say this to my wife, because I always tell her this all the time, because when I met her, I told her that I need to change. It's going to be a hard road for me. I got to do a lot of adapting. And that's where I work on. That's what makes me better in my relationship. I watch my wife, and I let her teach me, and I try to teach myself. And that's a lot of stuff that needs to change, because I'm from the old school, especially old or up in age man. We determined to stay in our way. And I said, nah, that is disease is wasting to happen, because I heard you say something about a while ago. It needs to change. Anybody can change. You got to be willing. You got to be determined to want to change. So I took that job. I took that job on telling my wife I got a lot of adapting to do, because the way she come from and the way I come from is two different worlds, like night and day. But I'm willing to make this relationship more stronger. So that's why I wanted to use the word adapt. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what kind of situation you've been in all your life. It don't mean nothing. If you really want to be, you want to change stuff around, it will change. So for that destination, it's how you want it. If you really want to get it and step on nails, step on pins, or go through walls or whatever, it's there.
Wow.
Determination and patience.
You know what? I'm going to give you a standing ovation, Mr. Fulton. If half the men I actually say it and there are tears in my eyes, because if half the men, you talked earlier about that ego and pride, if just half the men was honest, how many of you ladies who are listening wish you just had that man that said, listen, I'm just going to tell you what I'm not. No, we get the opposite. All this painted, beautiful picture we got in front of us and got our hopes up, and now we all twisted later. when he disappointed us. But if we had the men to come forward and just say, listen, I'm a works in progress. This is what I don't have. I'm looking at you as to what you do have. And I'm going to bring what I have to the table. But I'm letting you know, you know, this is what you're getting. And again, I want to stand up for you, Mr. Fulton, because that takes, that's a man. That takes, you know, that pride and ego on the side. Okay, so Mrs. Smith, before you were Mrs. Smith, and you actually had this man say to you, I need you to be patient with me because this is who I'm not. I'm struggling here. I need help here. I want you to, you know, to just wait it out. You know, hold on. Good stuff is coming, but I need to get there, and I need your help. What was on your mind? What did you say? Please speak to our ladies who have no patience and who want these men to be exactly who they are or who they want them to be from the inception of them meeting them. Please help them out. Please help me out. Help me out.
When you are looking for something to be perfect, when you meet it, you are already out of God's order because the word says, I will perfect it for you. So that means they need to come as a naked piece of clay anyway so y'all can be molded together and perfected together. So I was like, okay, well, he's not stuck in his own ways. We can find our way together. We can understand and grow together. We can create our own routines. We can create our own traditions. We're able to drop old beliefs and things and become one. So when women want somebody who they say already got it all going on, and when it's all going on, that means their glass is already overflowing, and that means either they're going to have to pour something out, and you don't know if it's filtering out the good or the bad to make room for you versus coming as an empty vessel and saying, hey, I'm a whole being, but I'm willing for God to pour some of you in me and pour more of him in me. That is a masterpiece right there because it's saying I'm willing to wipe off everything that's not of God and allow a new picture to be made.
Wow, I love that. Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo! All right. Ms. Courtney, this one is for you.
Okay. All right.
Okay. The road to there, okay? And this is kind of like an extension of what you just said, but I want to stick a pin here. It says, don't underestimate your influence. And don't manipulate him into being who you want him to be.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I like that because, it, like you said, it goes back to just what you're saying. So that's why you want somebody to come to you as a piece of clay versus this hard piece of concrete and saying that I am who I am and I'm not going to change and I'm great the way I am. Because the thing is, you got to manipulate concrete. You got to come with a jackhammer. You got to tear concrete up. And sometimes concrete just not going to act right with you. But the difference is with clay is all you got to do is lean on it, lay on it, nurture it. Mm-hmm. And it will automatically embody who you are without having to be manipulative and destructive. And that's the thing, you know, yes, I mean, you want your man to be a man. He don't need to be that kind of soft. When I'm talking about clay, I'm talking about he needs to have the capability of his spirit and his heart to be able, when you lean into him, he understands your heart and the God that's in you. So just clarify that now. By no means is my husband a pushover and a soft man in that way. But I'm saying that his spirit is very soft to God and his heart is very soft to me. So when I can just lay on him, I don't have to push him, manipulate him into things. And the thing is, you know, even God's word tells us that just live by an example. And if we live by an example and as the mold that we're supposed to be, when God drops the perfect piece of clay around us, it automatically wraps around who we are. That's why we attract who we are. And then we mad when we attract concrete. We are mad when we, you know, attract sand. Sand can't turn into nothing except sand. It don't matter what you mix with. It's just grain. So, you know, depending on what kind of soil you attracting, you know, all of it's dirt now. But you just got to be careful what kind of dirt you're trying to breathe life into, because it will never be anything else but what it is. So we just got to be very careful what it is that we're making. And our relationships, are we married to concrete? Are we married to clay? Are we married to sand? You know, are we married to some Georgia hard rock?
Wow. And, wow. You know, last night when we were praying for the men, one of the things I said was, okay, so ladies, you know, we're praying for the man, because a lot of the women were writing in, pray for the man to come to God, pray for so-and-so to come to God. And I had to remind them, listen, you can't be praying for God to draw the man to him, to pray that he would go come to God, and then when he gets at the door, you fussing, you cussing, you driving him back out the door. And somebody wrote in and said, I said, don't be, you know, the block. Don't be the blockade. Don't be the one who's standing in the way of his progression to come into God. And one of the ladies wrote and said, yes, I know that I was a part of him not progressing. And please don't make that mistake. And I thought about that when you said, you attract who you are. And this particular person, you said when you are concrete, you attract concrete. And do you know, you just described that person. She didn't realize that she was attracting exactly who she was. And I used to say to her all the time, you can't expect, you know, I said, look at what God had to do with you. He's still trying to, he still got this jackhammer with you, but yet he's supposed to be able to crumble at the sound of your voice. So you're going to have to make sure that you are not who you're, you know, who you're attracting. You need to be soft so that when he, and again, not that pushover soft, but the soft that you need to be, just so that he can be moldable too. So you don't even realize what you've said to these ladies today. Now, so thank you so much for even introducing that, Ms. Courtney. Mr. Fulton, I want you to respond, please, to, you know, how great the influence was that Ms. Courtney, you know, her life presented to you, opposed to her trying to manipulate you into being who she wanted you to be. How important was that?
Great question. It was very important because she had to realize one thing. I was in a relationship with my wife 32 years. I was married for 32 years, and I was in charge at all times. Because that's the way I was brought up. I was raised by my peers to be a demanding person, either my way or the highway. When I make a decision, it's not going to be changed. And then God took my wife away from me because she was died of health problems. So that gave me, I said to myself, I said, I'm going to stay to myself. I'm not going to be bothered with nobody. And I'm just going to get away. And God said, nope, that's not going to work. That's not going to work, because I'll finna go back to being my original self. But Lord introduced me to this nice, beautiful woman here. And I went to her house to work on her vehicle. Matter of fact, I'm still working on that vehicle. We're still married. I went to the house and I looked at her and I said, my wife is dead. My wife went to heaven. The only difference between my wife, my present wife, and my past wife is the height. My first wife was 5'7", and my wife now is 6 feet. And I looked and I said, hold on for a different answer. Something going on here. This ain't right. My wife is gone. I said, what? I'm still looking at my wife. What's going on here? And I reckon she thought I was crazy because I came to work on her car. I'm just leaning on my truck just looking at it because I'm in a daze. But back to you to answer your question. When I came to her, none of the words that came on my curse. I know my relationship wouldn't work with her if I came in with the same atmosphere that I was involved with for 32 years. I know it won't work. That didn't take no mastermind to figure that out. So I humble myself to the Almighty Father of my life now, and I humble myself to my beautiful wife. I left the door open for me to be educated in a new atmosphere. And because if I had came in with the old me, we would have made it the second day of life. But I opened the door to be taught by her. That's what I learned about relationships. That's why I study on relationships now, because I wanted to find out where I went wrong at in my first marriage. Why did I do what I did? Because I put a lot of pressure on my first wife, because I was raised that way, and that was wrong. So I started studying relationships, start studying. And I listened to my wife, what she was bringing to me, and I told my wife, it's going to be confusing to me, just like I told her about her cooking, because she cooked healthy. I love junk food, and I'm used to ham hocks and stuff like this, and I'm used to all this old crazy food. And I told her, I'm going to have to get used to the food. I know my body ain't going to know how to respond to it, but I know in the end, it's going to be better for me. And see, I learn a lot from my wife. And I learn a lot. I give her that. I give God the glory, and I give my wife the glory, because I'm willing to open up and open the door up and take heed to her learning. But I want to say something about this statement, this concrete that my wife speak about. Please, I want to say this about a man or a woman. This concrete is somebody laid the concrete down in the past and laid it over pipelines, over a water line, something like this. And the only way you can be able to fix your plumbing system or you got all leakages in your water line, you have to dig, you have to bust that cement up. And that's going to take a lot of work, a lot of hammer and jack out in the hot sun slaving trying to get that up. But once you break that concrete up and fix that water leak or unstop that line, now your house is going to be, your water going to be flowing real clearly. It's hard work, but you're going to put the pavement back down. The job is completely dead. So that's what, don't get it twisted. If you really want the relationship to work, put in the effort, put in the backbone, just go through the pain and agony, because what you invest in positive, that's what you get out positive.
Amen, amen. Oh my goodness, amen. Woo! All right, I want to touch on something else. We got a little while to go. We got a few more minutes, and I want to touch again. You touched on it, but I want to stick a pin in it. You know, last week we got a switch tip that says, "Pay attention to God." And the third point I want to make here today on this road to there is, look for God, regardless of the situation, regardless of where you are in that relationship, regardless of who's acting like this, who's acting like that, regardless of who's going through whatever. You need to make sure to look for God regardless throughout this entire journey on this road to there. Ms. Courtney, get us started with that, please.
Yes. It's funny that you say that. We were actually having a conversation before we went to bed last night on how much power we give the enemy, and we blame the devil for everything that does not go our way. You know, if something doesn't go our way, and we forget God was involved in that. And all we have to ask is say, God, not why is this happening to me? What is it I'm supposed to be learning? How are you trying to help me grow? Where is it you want me to go? There is a growth in being uncomfortable. And the thing is, every time discomfort or something adjective comes, we say, oh, the devil is trying to bother me. The devil is trying to get me off track. No, God is trying to wake you up, because every day we are supposed to be becoming something new. We're supposed to be becoming something better. And so on this road, a lot of times we pull off in a rest station, and we make that rest station our permanent home. He said, no, all I wanted you to do is go over there and take a rest. You turned your engine off and you done stayed there too long. So now I got to send somebody to break your window or do something to make you want to move from this place, because you got too comfortable in this rest place. Life is supposed to be a journey. But the thing is, we stop at so many places, calling them our permanent places, our forever places, the place that God has planted us. but we don't realize that we are not trees. We are supposed to be always able to get up and move when God says go.
Wow. Amen. We just got finished talking about that on our church folks segment. You know, don't coast. You know, don't get there and camp out. When God moves you to the next level, keep moving so that God can elevate you again. We can't just sit there. So you just gave confirmation to our conversation a couple of weeks ago, Miss Courtney. Mr. Fulton, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness gracious. Mr. Fulton, look for God everywhere you go in this relationship. That road to there means you have to look for God every step of the way. What are you telling our listeners today?
Be very patient. Be very disciplined. Very determined. Because like my wife got through saying, the Almighty Father going to put you in a situation that you ain't going to understand. It's going to be very confusing. It's going to look very difficult. And back to an instant point that me and my wife had some problems in the past of staying quarters. And every time you don't take life serious, you don't take our responsibility by paying our bills serious. So every time you lose a place to stay, I always find another place to stay. All right, we lost this place, I go find another place to stay. And God was talking to us, said, oh, they don't value your life. They don't value this situation. They don't value my blessing that I'm sending them. So he gonna make it difficult. He made it difficult for us to get shut down. We got shut down. We stayed in a hotel for 1 year. And
wow.
We were mad. I was mad with God. I said, I worked too hard to be staying in a hotel room, in a one-room hotel room for a year, dealing with people smoking cigarettes, loud talking, all this stuff, slamming doors. I said, me and my wife don't have no business in this. I said, I'm a better person than this. But the problem was we were moving so fast, we wasn't grateful what the Almighty Father put in me. I mean, he sent us blessings. We didn't pay no attention. We just throw it off. And the Lord said, nah, y'all guys gonna slow down. Y'all gonna find out where y'all life is. You're gonna find out what life is all about. You're gonna find out what I'm all about. You're gonna find out that you can't get on the telephone and call nobody to come and rescue you. Nobody gonna be able to rescue you but me. And when I rescue you, then you're gonna be know what's the situation that you came out of, what it's gonna be. And that's what me and my wife did. We sit out and watch each other in the face because we had no chance but to sit and talk to each other. We ain't want no room to move around, and we sit there and discuss where we went wrong at, where we was ungrateful at, where we didn't pick up on stuff at. And now that made both of us a better person because the Lord put us in a destructive division to make us think, to make us to understand what life is all about. We as humans, we are ungrateful. We don't understand nothing about life until destruction comes. And destruction comes, that's when we get our attention. Just like your child, you tell your child to do something in a nice, manly way. Baby, do this. Baby, do this. Then they don't do it. They have to ride. You get your little switch and start tangling on the leg. Now you got their attention. And that's where the Almighty Father works, and my wife and myself. And that's why we are, in quotation marks, six times, better individuals today.
Amen. What a testimony. Woo, what a testimony. Thank you for sharing that with us. Oh, my goodness. I got 2 points that I have to do for you, with you two, because you are bringing so much to our listeners, and I really think you'll be able to bless us with these last 2 points. One of the first things I want to, the submission, submitting to one another. But it starts with submitting to God, because we would not know that we need to submit unless we first submitted to God. So, Ms. Courtney, we've got to start with you when it comes to this submission issue that women have so great a problem with.
I think people use that word submission, and they think it means slavery, a servitude. And that's not really what submission means. So like you see it, when we learn how to submit to God, and then really submission to God is we ask God to order our steps. Do we follow the instructions when he gives them to us? You know, we ask God for wisdom and understanding? Are we following that when he gives it to us? And then the thing is, when we ask him to give it to us, are we grateful? Are we respectful? And those are the same things that he says we should have in our relationship with our mate. And that's really what submission looks like. But the key in that is, are we submissive to ourselves in that same way? And when I say ourselves, you know, are we submitting to our flesh or the word that's within us? You know, most of us submit to our flesh, but can we submit to the word within us when it is really urging us to do something else, you know, really urging us to do what God has already laid down before us? And when we can't even do that, you know you can't submit to the will and desires that your mate has, because that's the good that God sent you. You know, we are supposed to help each other see the better version. So can you submit to that? You know, like if my husband asked me to do something and I know it's God's will for our marriage, but it's like, you know, I don't know how to submit to God's will when he asked me to do it. I don't know how to submit to the Spirit within me when the Holy Spirit asked me to do something. Now, how am I supposed to submit to a fleshly person when they ask me to do something?
Wow.
So submission is just a confusion of being able to tap in to doing the right thing. And so can you do the right thing for God? Can you do the right thing when the Holy Spirit is urging you? And if you're unable to do those, you definitely can't follow the God in somebody else, because you're not able to see it. You're not able to tap into it and understand it, you know, because you see it as somebody being bossy. You see it as somebody trying to tell you what to do versus seeing it as them, you know, following God's plan and, you know, showing you direction. You know, submission is really just the GPS for your relationship. That's God's plan he's already laid out for you. So we want to, what we say is, oh, well, God didn't tell me. Well, you know what? God did tell you, because he lines you up with this person. And if you trust the God in them, you're able to be guided by them. You know, if I can get in the car with my husband and he drives us to wherever we're going, so if I can trust him in the flesh to get us there safely, why can I not trust his spirit to drive us there safely?
Ooh, I like that. Ooh, good stuff, Ms. Courtney. Good stuff. Oh, my goodness. Mr. Fulton, we're talking about the male side of this whole submission thing. What you got?
Oh, wow. I love this. The submission. I see in reality, and some individual submission is a temporary thing. What I mean by that, when you start dating your partner, you see all the outside good features of this young man or this young lady. This lady looks so good. I mean, part of the features, like at my wife say, a cocoa machine or a cocoa bottle, how they pronounce that stuff. And then yeah, this man, he bought. He's so built that, I mean, he got a nice car, nice house, got a nice job, six-figure job, and that's the problem. We don't love the individual for what they can produce within the spirit of their heart and their mind. We love the individual for the outer appearance. We love the individual for the material stuff that they can produce. And that's when the intermission come in effect. That's why I say it's part-time, because we work hard to get that individual. Now, after we don't got off probation, we don't start doing stuff that we ain't got no business. Our eyes will start rolling to another section of the world that ain't got no business over there, because this relationship don't got stale, because we went into it with the wrong approach. So that's what I call part-time admission, because we done lost track somewhere. So me and my wife always talk all the time, we should continue dating all the time. Because if we continue dating all the time, our relationship and our admission will be strong each and every day.
Wow.
Submission, yeah.
Wow. I'm so glad this goes into lock. That way, we ain't got to try to remember what you said. We could always go back for the replay. Because, baby, this stuff here, Man, if you ain't taking notes, you need to go back and listen. Oh, my goodness. All right, the last point, and I knew I needed to keep you two around for these last two. Okay. Whoo! Big stuff. Continue your prayer life for your partner. Continue your prayer life in regards to your partner. So, you know what? I think I'm going to let the man have the final say. So, Ms. Courtney, what you got for us? Just continue to pray for your husband throughout this. The road to there, the key is praying for your husband.
I 100% agree with that, because our marriage is our first ministry. You know, we always praying for people to be what we want them to be, instead of praying for what God wants them to be. You know, mm-hmm. because as I pray for my husband to become what God wants me to be, that helps me be driven by him to become what God wants me to be too. So it is necessary for us to pray for each other instead of us always trying to push somebody else. God has the capability to change a man's heart. All we have the capability to do is temporarily change a man's habits. And the thing is, a man can do something temporarily just to get something out of it from you. But if his heart was not truly in it and it was not of God, it's not going to be a permanent place for him to stay. And I want women to understand that, because a lot of people say, well, I can get my man to do this. I can get my man to do this. Okay, but you can get him to do that under a manipulative state. But can you keep him doing that? You know, so, and what does it cost you to have to do that? You know, how much energy and how much effort are you putting in that to make your man do something where, you know, I don't have to make my husband do anything. You know, when we have a conversation and sometimes I know it irritates him, I'll always say, what did God say about that? You know, did you hear from God? You know, have we had a conversation with God about it? And if he tells me yes, I'd be like, I'm 100% on board with that. Let's roll with it. And then if it's not, I say, well, come back to me when you have a conversation with God about it. You know? So I'm like, you know, and I'm like, because I'm not going to argue about something or even go into a discussion about something that you hadn't even taken to God first. And in our relationships, that's where we have an issue. We haven't went to God first, and we begin discussions and we begin conversations, and that's why they become heated. That's why they become arguments. You know, and we do have to catch ourselves, because even after it went to God, we allow our flesh to step in there and start taking us down another journey. I mean, we all do that. We all do it. We all human, so let's not get so holier than thou and act like ain't none of us had heated conversations before. But the difference is when we know we prayed for a specific thing, the Holy Spirit comes back and it chastises us and say, hush your mouth. Because this is not what you asked for, you know. So when you pray for your mate, that allows the Holy Spirit to remind you and chastise you that your behavior is out of alignment for what you asked for. So if I'm asking for my husband to have patience, if I'm asking, you know, for him to, you know, balance his time out between work and home, why would I be asking him to balance his time out from work at home if I'm acting like a witch at home? Why God gonna send him home? Straighten out your behavior so that your husband does want to come home. You know, so that means God, while you praying for your husband, God is gonna change you as well. He's gonna make you set an atmosphere, because that is what our job is as women. We're supposed to set an atmosphere. We're supposed to create an environment, and if we are not creating the atmosphere and the environment for our husband to be who it is that we're praying for, then we really need to check ourselves.
You know what? Standing ovation for Ms. Courtney. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for that closing word from you. Oh, Mr. Fulton, you have the final word today. And we're talking about the road to there means that you have to consistently pray
for her?
Once again, great topic. I take this very serious because you have to build a strong atmosphere in your home-based life with starting with the Almighty Father. And a lot of times our prayer life is built around us. What I mean for me, what I mean doesn't make us say that. When we pray for someone, your wife or husband, it's a selfish prayer. That's why we have misfunction in our home, in our relationship. So my wife and I, we pray for the Almighty Father to give each other strength, give each other discipline, give each other guidance, give each other patience, give each other endurance. That's the way our prayer life works in this household. When I pray for my wife, I ask the Almighty Father to give her strength, give her wisdom, give her determination, give her patience. That's my prayer life to my wife, because I don't never get into a prayer life. God, can you make my wife do this? Can you have my wife do this? God gonna close his ears up. What are you talking about? So that's my prayer life to my wife. They give her strength, wisdom, and discipline to make her life, her goals more easy to get to and more understandable when she get there, because it's work. It's work for you to be able to survive in this cold world out there. So we try to give each other encouragement every day. That's how they give each other encouragement. So my prayer life is built around my wife is making her stronger, better, and wiser, and stronger. Because you have to realize there are ladies in a relationship. Your wife is the light of everything. The Almighty Father is first, then your wife is second. Because I live my life around this. I'm scared of the Almighty Father. The reason why I'm scared of the Almighty Father, because if I mistreat my wife, me and hear me real good, I'm finna get loud now. Hear me real good. If you mistreat the Almighty Father, daughter, your life will be miserable. Will be miserable. You wonder why every time you put your hands on something, why it go wrong. Why you can't save money, why your car's not working, why you can't pay your bills, why you keep losing money all the time. Because you're mistreating the Almighty Father's daughter. Because the Bible says, you take care of my daughter, your life will be 100% better. So my prayer around my life is to make her more better, stronger, wiser, and doable. That's my prayer for my wife, because we talk about this all the time. We want to be together for another 50 years. You know, and so that's where it is. And the make that happen is, live a healthy life. I mean, live a healthy life, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And it's sometimes it's difficult for us to keep a smile on each other's face, but that's the way it's supposed to be, because you're putting hard-earned sweat into this. So my prayer life, once again, to my wife, to be strong, mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Amen. Oh, amen. You two have blessed us abundantly today, Mr. Fulton and Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. When I tell you, this has done my heart so good to actually have this relationship clinic launched. As you were speaking, God gave me direction for the relationship clinic, and this was an amazing experience for me. I can't even imagine what the listeners are feeling, thinking, understanding. Keep doing what you're doing, and know that you are a blessing to us. Here's the best part. We have you both for the rest of the week. We have Ms. Courtney, who's coming back on Thursday, and we have Mr. Fulton, who will be with us on Friday to join our men. And, you know, God does things big over here on His due time. Thank you so much. And I pray you have a blessed day as you have abundantly blessed us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are so honored to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have a blessed one. Woo!
Likewise.
Thank you. I am so still digesting that. And we are at the
anchor part of our Monday morning, and we are going to say good morning to Shantice with the switch tip. What you got for us? Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Okay.
Good morning.
Today I got the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 73 is walk in the new. And I've thought about this. I've been noticing for like the past couple of weeks, like different thoughts would pass my mind regarding my past, you know, regarding the things I used to do, regarding the things I used to wear, regarding the way I used to handle things. But it's been a lot more of like, oh, you know, around this time, I'd be partying, you know, around, I remember that night we went and did this and I got drunk, or I remember that night we that was fun, that was fun. After a while, I was like, well, why am I, like, why are these thoughts coming to mind? And like, you know, I'm thinking back on those days, like I'm missing them. Like, okay, you know, God, you allowed me to, you know, do what I did and I had fun and it was fun things. But if I had the opportunity now, you know, I really have to ask myself, like, if I had the opportunity to do all of those things now, would I do them now? No. But for one is, I don't even have the energy to do that now. You know, the thought of, and I used to tease with my best friends about this, the thought of going out, that it sounds good, but when I think about what I got to do to go out, like, I got to get up and get in the shower and, like, get dressed, figure out what I'm going to wear and all that, and then leave the house. I'm already tired, you know? I don't feel like even doing that. You know, just the thought of it makes me not want to do it. And it was like, why am I thinking about that? And then that brought me to, like, different things that I would identify myself with. And I didn't look at it as identifying myself with, but it would be, you know, I would go to do something. I would go to wear something. I would go to say something. I would go to react a certain type of way. And I would feel like a pullback, like, don't do that, don't do that. But then I would feel myself kind of pushing a little more. And it's like, well, why? And it wasn't until I had a conversation with someone and indirectly, you know, it was brought up like, that is what I'm using to identify who I am. And then I had to realize that these are the things that God is pulling me away from. And I've had a few people who, you know, knew me when, you know, in my past, who I was cool with, and they speak to me now, and it's like, oh, you know, I can't say this around you, you know, you the church girl now, I can't do this around you, you know, and it's up to, you know, I respect the respect, you know, but, you know, I'm still me, I'm still Shantice. It's like, no, make them level up around you, you know, make them understand that you're not who you used to be, but before they understand it, I have to understand it. So there's two questions that I have to ask myself, and it's two questions that I would like to ask all of the listeners for you to ask yourself. And the first one is, what or who do you identify yourself with? What person, place, or thing? And what is God trying to get you to detach yourself from so you can now understand your identity? And for those of us who have been blessed to give our lives to God, or if you feel like he's calling you, but for whatever reason you have not answered the call yet, he is trying to make you a new creation. For those of us who are baptized already, we are a new creation, and we have to officially just walk away from, and some things you'll be able to drop instantaneously. Some things are going to take a bit of a process, which is why we need patience. We need patience for ourselves. But we have to understand that I'm not who I used to be anymore. Ecclesiastes 7:10 message version. Don't always be asking, where are the good old days? Wise folks don't ask questions like that. It sounds kind of selfish and ungrateful to now have this life, this new life, you know, and change can be very scary. Change can be very uncomfortable, which is why we don't like change. But change can be very rewarding, especially when we allow God and Jesus to lead our lives and lead us daily. for me now to be thinking about, oh, I remember when I used to do this, I remember when I used to do that, it's like I'm saying to God, okay, I'd rather go back to those days. Those days were those days. I now have to focus on the days that you are getting ready to bless me with, the day that you're blessing me with right now, the moment you're blessing me with right now. I have to show you that I'm grateful, and I have to understand that if I continue to be okay with just sitting and thinking about that, that's being read to God as being ungrateful. 2 Corinthians 5:17, English Standard Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We have to make sure we're making the conscious decision to walk in the new. Thanking God that he did not close our eyes back in those quote-unquote good old days, because those weren't really good old days. That's just where we were fine sitting in that. We were fine with the dysfunction. We were fine with that being our standard. God is now leveling us up. We always want to talk about we want to get better. We want to be better. He's giving us better. Now I have to make sure I'm switching from who I was and being content with that, being fine with that, making sure that I see that so that other people can see that. So there's no more in sitting in who I used to be, sitting in who you used to be. It's now time to switch to walking in the new creation that God has you walking into. We cannot be okay with thinking about our past. The more we are where our thoughts are, okay, wherever we allow our thoughts to take us, that's where we're going to sit. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision again to leave the past alone and walk in the new. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Oh, thank you, Shantice. Thank you so much. Walk in the new. You just put a stamp on our relationship clinic conversation. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. See, always, somehow or another, she has no idea what we're going to talk about in the relationship department. And somehow or another, God always confirms, you know, the Smiths talked about newness, that road to there. Both of them spoke about the change that needs to take place. But before I go there, let me give this benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Romans 15:13. If that didn't just say what we just got finished talking about in the relationship clinic, if Shantice, you know, what she talked about in Walk in the New, absolutely. There's no way. You know, we're talking about the road to there. So whether you're talking about the road to there in your relationship, or regardless of whether you're talking about the road to there in your relationship with God, so whether it's your intimate relationship or your relationship with God, there is a there. Your there is happiness, respect, and giving your partner everything that God has designed for you to give and to receive. When we're talking about the relationship, the road to there, we want to be on that narrow road that only few will find that will lead to eternal life. Woo! Talk about a road to there. Both an intimate road to there and a road to there to you know, getting that salvation that God's gift, you know, that's God's gift is an amazing road to there. In both areas, you will have your ups and downs. In both areas, you will have your peaks and valleys. In both areas, you're going to have to submit. In both areas, you're going to have to toe the line and be obedient. On both sides of this, you know, road to there, you're going to have to walk in the new. Just like Mr. Fulton said, you can't bring that old into something you want new. You can't bring the old you to God and just say, okay, God, take me as I am. This is the best you're going to get. I'm not trying to change. And neither can you say that to your spouse. He gave us a perfect example of that.
We are going to have to walk in the new. Oh, on both sides. We're going to have to walk in the new. The Bible says we are a new creation that starts with the definitely renewing of your mind. You have got to say to yourself, I can't be who I was. This is not going to benefit anybody. It's not going to benefit our relationship, our marriage, and it's not going to benefit the kingdom of God. For me to stand up here and give God this junk, because the Bible tells us that in God's eyes, we are all filthy rags. So stop leveling yourself above everybody. Because, listen, we all have to be molded. The Smiths talked about being that concrete versus being that clay. Same thing Shanti's just got finished talking about. That newness, walking in the new. You know, Mr. Smith talked about, hey, you know, when I walked into this, I came from, this is who I am. This is the way my family raised me. This was the environment I came up in. They raised me to be a strong man who stood on the foundation. But was it God's foundation? Was it God's area of submission? Because we surely can't go to God with that mentality. Well, no more than we can go into that relationship with that mentality. God has been so good to us today to give us both sides of the fence, as he always does. How blessed are we to have heard from a couple who was honest, especially the male. That's what I'm giving you, standing ovation. Because how many of us are willing to say, I tried it, but it didn't work. So I had to go back to the drawing board, and the drawing board was Jesus. Oh, the drawing board was not asking my friend. The drawing board was not, you know, maybe necessarily reading a book or going to a therapist. The recipe to newness was Jesus. Oh, I love that. The recipe to newness was Jesus. The only person the master took and reshaped me only because I stood in the position to be reshaped. The other way. You know, the reason why I love this conversation is because if you paid attention, the Smiths said almost exactly the same thing I've been saying to you in pockets. And the best part about hearing it today was it's not just coming from Pastor Steph, that he's given us an outside source that put it into the perspective of one toward another. How blessed are we? I always tell you, God brings us he gives us the very best. We get no junk. Yeah, I said it. We get no junk here on this due time. We had a perfect layout for being molded and being moldable by God in our intimate relationship as well as our relationship with him. Make sure you follow the recipe. You can't go wrong. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank the Smiths, Mr. Fulton and Mrs. Courtney Lee Smith, who came and blessed our lives today in the Relationship Clinic. I want to thank you for joining us and listening and just being still. Make sure you are not just hearers, but you are doers of God's word. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, with Let's Talk About Tuesday Church Folk Day, if God spares our life, I love you.